This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The annual Henry W. Meyer State of Milwaukee Summit at UWM begins tomorrow. This year, as a tribute to the 50th anniversary of the March on Milwaukee, the event is looking at the city's ongoing issues with affordable housing and the many ways they hope to solve the problem.
The summit will feature a panel of experts, including Rafael Ramos and Corey Schneider-Perigini. Rafael Ramos is the director of the Legal Action of Wisconsin's Eviction Defense Project, and Corey Schneider-Perigini is the senior administrator of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Fair Housing Council's Inclusive Communities Program.
Schneider-Perigini and Ramos sat down with Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about the summit and the impact of Milwaukee's affordable housing issues.
There's two different ways to think about affordable housing. One way is to think about the housing and urban development definition, which is housing is affordable if you're only paying 30% or less of your income for that housing. But there's also the subsidized kinds of housing, things like public housing, things like rent assistance or low-income housing tax credits that also can be considered affordable housing. So there's two different ways to think about it.
You know, from the perspective of our project where we're dealing with people who are facing eviction, I think there's a sort of real-world definition of affordable housing too. There's housing that people can afford where they're paying a certain amount for it. But one thing that I think should be kind of included in definitions is the concept that the housing has to be affordable, but it also has to be decent in some way. And that differs from the actual definitions that agencies use. But I think that concept is an important one and something that really shouldn't be lost when looking at what is affordable housing for people in the city.
So when we're talking about the affordable housing crisis in Milwaukee, are we talking about a lack of homes that people can afford or a lack of homes that, as you said, are good, livable homes?
I think it's really a combination of both things. I mean, if you look at affordable housing, some of the programs that are in place, public housing, Section 8 housing assistance, the wait lists for those programs are closed. So people are having trouble accessing those programs and accessing that sort of assistance. So you have that first threshold issue of people actually getting this affordable housing with assistance from the government and other agencies. And then coupled with that, finding housing that is in decent condition without problems that make it difficult to live. When you look at those sorts of housing units, because they're in worse condition, they are inherently cheaper, which makes them more affordable. But it's a sword that cuts both ways.
And I think part of the affordable housing crisis is also the location of the housing that exists. And if we're only going to have affordable housing, depending on how you define that, in already high poverty areas where crime might be high as well, is that really the kind of housing that we want? If some of the ideas behind affordable housing is to provide stable housing in a safe neighborhood with the ideal goal of allowing people to escape generational poverty, then perhaps we need to be thinking about some non-traditional neighborhoods where that housing is located. Perhaps looking at communities where the job growth is taking place at a higher rate than Central City Milwaukee. So I think location is equally important in that equation.
Well, and I'm assuming that access to transportation also kind of plays into this.
Yeah, absolutely. Housing and transportation. There's a spatial mismatch between, say, Waukesha County and Central City Milwaukee, where a majority of the job growth over the last couple decades has been in Waukesha County, but Black male joblessness in Milwaukee is, you know, upwards of 50%. And so how do you connect those two populations? How do you connect that labor force with those jobs? And one way is housing and the other way is transportation. So, yeah, they go hand in hand.
So what do the numbers look like when we're looking at specifically the housing crisis? How many people are without homes just in general or without an affordable home, a good affordable home?
Well, I can speak to that from the perspective of evictions, which is the area where I work. And when you look at the type of people who are being evicted, very often one of the reasons that they're being evicted is for inability to pay, failure to pay. And this isn't true in every case, obviously, but just in terms of number of evictions that have been filed, in 2016, there were over 13,000 evictions filed in the city, many of which are related to issues associated with failure to pay. Now, sometimes, a lot of times, you see failure to pay stemming from a conditions issue where someone says, this place isn't worth that much because the furnace doesn't work, so I won't pay for it. But that is, you know, the number that you're looking at. And that number's gone up. Basically, over the course of the last 5 years, the curve is going up. So in terms of that sort of lens, there's a clear issue in terms of people having access to housing that they can afford and is worth paying for.
In addition to that, to try to quantify the need for affordable housing, I know that nationwide, and I'm sure Milwaukee's not a whole lot different, that for every one rent assistance voucher, there are four people who need that voucher, who qualify, who have a low enough income that qualify and need that for housing stability. And so I would say if Milwaukee County has roughly 10,000 vouchers, the need is 40,000 households. Now, that's probably undercounting what the actual need is, but you can look at numbers and figure out what housing cost burdens are by population. That's one way to quantify what the need is, and housing burden would be if you pay between 30% or more of your income. And then a severe housing cost burden would be 50% or more of your income on housing.
Now, Corey, you work for Milwaukee's Fair Housing Council. What does the Fair Housing Council do for the city?
We work statewide, and we worked in Milwaukee and Waukesha County and Ozaukee and Washington counties. But essentially what we do is we enforce fair housing laws, housing discrimination laws at the federal, state, and local levels. Basically, you can't discriminate against people in housing based on race, color, ethnicity, religion, age, gender, sexual orientation, et cetera. So we enforce those laws. We take complaints from people who feel they were discriminated against, and we try to make sure people are aware of what their rights are. My job is a little different in that I'm the policy person at the organization. I look at some of the institutional and systemic barriers that keep our region segregated. And so just looking at things that seem very innocuous on their face, like municipal zoning, and think about the ways in which that kind of zoning is keeping us segregated.
Now, I've often heard the Fair Housing Act faulted for being somewhat toothless as a piece of legislation that doesn't really have a lot of weight behind it. What kind of tools do you have at the ready to help people who might be the victims of discriminatory housing?
Both the state and federal laws, we can assist people who feel like they were discriminated against. And both of those laws function a little bit differently, but we help people get to either the state or the federal agency to go down that path. The Fair Housing Act, it was passed in 1968 after the assassination of Dr. King, and it's kind of a two-parter. The way I think about it is a two-parter. And one part of the act says, don't discriminate. All the ways in which you've discriminated in the past are now illegal. The second part of the act is not only should you not discriminate, but you need to go back and take actions to overcome the segregation that's been occurring over time because of the discrimination that was legally occurring prior. So I think that's one area that the Fair Housing Act can be more powerful if it's used in the right way. And I think it's up to fair housing enforcement organizations like ours to continue to make that happen.
Raphael, you work with Legal Action of Wisconsin, and more specifically, the Eviction Defense Project. How do both of those help improve this crisis, or maybe more specifically, address the crisis?
Yeah, so the Eviction Defense Project was a new initiative that was created by Legal Action of Wisconsin after we got a grant from Legal Services Corporation at the beginning of this year. So since January, we've been operating in the courthouse to provide free legal assistance to low-income tenants who are being evicted. So in my mind, the issue of eviction is tied very closely with the issue of affordable housing, because we've talked about people having access to affordable, decent housing. And one of the things that people have seen in, you know, for example, Matthew Desmond published this book, Evicted, that came out last year. And one of the things they showed was that a lot of renters are paying up to 70-80% of their income towards rent, which makes it difficult for them to live, often leading to evictions. So the issue, as I see it, is that the lack of affordable housing puts people in a position where they find themselves being evicted and really starting down a downward spiral of more and more difficult time finding housing, basically just because of the eviction record that's created once a person has that court filing against them. They have a hard time finding housing with reputable landlords, so they're forced to go to slumlords, places that are just in more poor condition, which makes it more likely that issues associated with conditions will come up, leading to non-payment, leading to another eviction, and really putting people in a real downward spiral where they have a hard time getting out and finding, again, a nice, affordable, decent place to live.
So you're both going to be on this affordable housing crisis panel over at UWM. What kind of topics are you hoping to tackle in that panel?
I think one of the main points that I'm hoping to address is this idea of the geography of opportunity, that where you live will play a role in your life outcomes, particularly where you grow up, where your life is formed. And we're looking at a lot of research that's been becoming richer and richer as the decades go about people who make a move from a high poverty to a low poverty community and the kinds of impacts that can have, impacts on health, on obesity and diabetes, on mental health, stress in particular, impacts on future graduation rates for kids, on having a higher income after you're employed, on less teenage pregnancy. So the impacts, I think, can be pretty huge. And I would like to talk about the solutions on how we can start to look at location and segregation and geography as part of the solution, but in addition to just looking at housing stability on its face. We need to kind of go the next step past that.
I mean, I think Corey's on track with a lot of the things she's talking about. I mean, one thing that you hear more and more recently is the concept of housing first, how important housing is for just the stability of families, households, not just in terms of work, but education for kids, for health. So I hope that that's a concept that is addressed in this coming panel. You know, one thing I also hope is talked about is the idea that a lot of low-income people in the city are living on a razor's edge, where if you have a cold and you miss work for a few days, for a week, all of a sudden you can't make rent and you're evicted. And one thing that often happens is if you're evicted, you lose your eligibility for some of these public housing programs that provide affordable housing. And, you know, when people are living in a situation where you're paying 80% of your income to rent and you don't have truly affordable housing, you know, there's not that much you can do. And I oftentimes hear people say, well, some people are just choosing not to pay rent. And that's just simply not true. It's because there's a real lack of affordable housing that people can afford and that is worth paying for.
Well, Corey, Raphael, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect, and good luck on the panel.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Raphael Ramos is the director of the Legal Action of Wisconsin's Eviction Defense Project. Corey Schneider-Perugini is the senior administrator of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Fair Housing Council's Inclusive Communities Program.
Both Ramos and Schneider-Perugini will be part of a panel on Milwaukee's fair housing crisis tomorrow evening at the UWM Student Union. There's more information on the event at wuwm.com.